the analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Wait, so being suspended for weeks because of, you know, a political controversy actually leads to the highest ratings in 10 years.
Yeah.
That seems like a paradox.
Yeah.
That's definitely what we need to unpack today.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is looking into the, well, chaotic and pretty high stakes return of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Right.
It didn't just come back at smash records.
Mm-hmm.
Over 10 years, highest ratings, clocking in at 6.26 million viewers.
And what's so fascinating here, I think, isn't just the number itself. It's really a study in how modern media, like, takes political heat, that hostility, and turns it into actual market success.
Okay.
So we're looking at the sources you've gathered, the articles on the suspension, the feud that followed, that ratings explosion, trying to understand how this controversy shifted, you know, from a potential crisis, maybe as an accountability issue, into this huge audience magnet, especially now in such a polarized time.
Okay, right. Let's dig into that initial crisis first. Because the rating surge is one thing, but it all started with the suspension itself. Those really volatile comments connected to the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
When Kimmel eventually came back, he did talk about it. He admitted some remarks might have been, I think the words were, inopportune or unclear.
Mm-hmm. And what's crucial about that framing, that specific wording, is how calculated it seems.
Right.
He acknowledged, okay, some people were offended, but he definitely stopped short of a full apology for the satire, for the content itself.
Yeah, he drew a line there.
He did. He insisted, you know, he never meant to minimize the tragedy. He even pointed out he'd sent condolences privately to the family way before the public blow-up really started.
But doesn't that feel a bit like trying to have it both ways? Admitting the comments were unclear, not maybe fundamentally wrong, but unclear. It sort of sidesteps the main criticism, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It deflects that core accountability question while at the same time holding onto the right to be provocative, which, you know, drives ratings.
Exactly.
And that strategic deflection, it immediately pivoted into a really bold defense. His whole argument then rested on the need for, well, what he called satira politica, political satire.
Mm.
He was very open about insisting freedom of expression had to be maintained, and he used that return monologue to jump right back into his critical stance, calling former President Donald Trump a bravucon, a bully.
And naturally, the second Kimmel doubled down like that, he basically lit the fuse for the biggest ratings booster around right now. Direct fire from Donald Trump.
Yep. Predictable, maybe.
Totally. Trump hits Truth Social. Starts criticizing ABC, which, let's remember, is owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
He's demanding to know why the network didn't cancel the show,
mm-hmm.
claiming they'd privately assured him it would be.
And this is where that media loop just becomes so mutually beneficial, maybe, and definitely profitable.
How so?
Well, Trump attacks the network publicly. He calls Kimmel not funny, calls the show Basura Democratic trash.
Right.
The sources really highlight how that public intervention basically turned it into a national story. It guaranteed every political news outlet would cover Kimmel's return, not just as a show returning, but as this major conflict.
And that guaranteed national coverage.
Sure.
That's what leads straight to the 6.26 million viewers. It puts eyes on the show.
Exactly.
But the counterpunch Kimmel threw back politically. That was pretty memorable, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After Trump attacked him personally for keeping his job.
Oh, yeah. The retort was sharp.
He just fired back. He can't believe they gave me back my job. I can't believe we gave him back his.
Boom. Yeah. And that line, commentators, you know, pretty widely called it a masterclass in political rhetoric.
Yeah.
Because it connects his personal job situation right back to the huge national debate about accountability, about Trump's political future.
So he links his own controversy to the former president.
Instantly. And by doing that, he kind of cemented his position, at least for his audience, as someone who offers sharp political insight along with the jokes. He basically turned defending himself into, well, a political win in their eyes. So what does all this really tell us? This deep dive, I think it reveals a clear pattern, even if it's a polarizing one.
Which is?
When a media figure defends a really controversial stance and then manages to attract that direct high-profile political opposition, like from Trump, that combination translates directly into huge, even record-breaking viewership. The fight itself, that becomes the top-rated entertainment.
The feud is the show.
Pretty much. And this leaves us with, I think, an important question for you, the listener, to maybe mull over.
Okay.
What's the actual cost, or, you know, maybe the market benefit when those lines between political fighting, celebrity controversy, and just straight up commercial entertainment ratings get completely blurred like this? Where does one end and the other begin?
That's a heavy one to think about. If you enjoyed this deep dive and, well, want more shortcuts to staying informed, please do subscribe and maybe share the show with a friend.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate the support.
Comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.